Okay, page 73. We'll just read the verse. This is, you've already covered this one, because this is in the hexagonal room, in the middle. Okay, this is bodhicitta. Okay, but here we go anyway. 1, 2, 3. I have slipped and fallen into the sea of the suffering life. Bless me to see that every living being, everyone my own mother, has fallen into. Grant me then to practice this highest wish for enlightenment, to take on myself the task of freeing the world. Okay. That's all the construction up to now, from the courtyard out to the hexagonal room, is Mahayana. Okay? That's Bodhisattva attitude. The first half was the secret side of Mahayana, and the second half was the open side of Mahayana. So we finished what we call Gibuchumbo, which means the big capacity, great capacity person. And everything up to now is that. So all the rooms up to now are part of what we call Mahayana, great capacity. Now we're into the next room out is going to be a room for what we call people of medium capacity. And the difference between a person of Mahayana capacity and medium capacity is that, as you know from your homework, medium capacity person is interested in getting themselves out of any kind of suffering at all. And they understand that even this realm, and to live like this kind of a person, like a human, is suffering. So they're interested in getting out of that also. But they still haven't reached the point where they want to do it, or they want to make sure that everyone else does it also. Okay? So that's what we call a medium capacity person. So the next two verses, going backwards, are for people of medium capacity. Okay? And these verses are divided into two. Verse number 5 and verse number 6. Verse number 5 is just figuring out that this kind of life is not such a good, not such a hot thing. Okay? And verse number 6 is figuring out what to do about it, how to stop your immediate suffering in this kind of existence. So 5 and 6 go together. And 6 is really understanding karma and understanding what you have to do to get out, what you have to do to get out of this suffering life. Where does the suffering come in your life? And we got to make up a room where, I don't know, you figure it out, but it's got to be something like, it's got to be the understanding that what you do today creates your reality next month and 6 months from now, and conversely, that you're responsible for everything that's going on around you. And the implication of that is that you have to be really careful with what you do. Okay, so I don't know what kind of room you want to have there, but the idea is that maybe a mirror, you know, maybe a mirror room would be good, okay, before the hexagonal room. And I would make it a little bit smaller, and then, you know, the small capacity person's room is going to be even smaller. And then you can remember, okay? So I think we're talking about a mirror room, because the main thing here is that you realize that you are creating your reality. And if you don't like it, you know, Ken Rinpoche is always constantly saying, I would come home from work at Andean, you know, in Diamond Business and complain, and he'd say, well, if you don't like it, why don't you fix it, you know? And that's all he would ever say. You know, I wanted some commiseration, you know. Like, it's not so bad, or, you know, yeah, your boss is really a bad person, or he would just say, if you don't like it, just fix it, you know. So this is where you realize that you're making it all, and then you look in the mirror. I think a mirror room would be good. And then you, the point is that realizing that you make it, that you stop doing any kind of tashin tawan namkyang pongwandang, means you start to understand that you can't entertain even a slight bad deed, okay? Because there's no slack. Nobody can cut you any slack. Karma doesn't cut any slack. And the slightest thing you do has repercussions karmically, okay? It's just being irritated with somebody on the street that bumps into you is already creating a lousier New York City 6 months from now, you know, like the street will be worse 6 months from now. And you have to understand that, and you have to act on that. And it's very, very hard, Because your natural reaction to people bothering you is that you feel justified to think something bad. You know, there's reasonable people who bother you, and there's unreasonable people who bother you. And the unreasonable people, there just seems to be no excuse for them. And it seems like it really is their fault, and it couldn't be your fault. And that it's somehow more justified to be upset or irritated with an unreasonable person. But you made them. Every detail of them you created. And you couldn't be perceiving them except that your mind is making you perceive them. Okay? And their husband or wife or mother or son thinks they're the most wonderful person in the world, just as they are. Because they have a different set of karmas. So, if you don't like it, then fix it. Okay? So, that'll be a mirror room. Okay? And that'll be the medium capacity person. And the idea, something for acting carefully about little things. I don't know. What should that be? I don't know. Like you're tiptoeing across the room? Huh?
On precarious stands.
What's that?
Little glass figurines.
Oh, that's okay. And you're tiptoeing through, okay? All right? And you're tiptoeing through the room. All right? You got to walk careful through that room. Okay, and the idea is that Trashin Taranam Kyampawadam means once you understand about karma, you really have to avoid even the tiniest bad deeds. Because you can't get away with anything. Because it's all being recorded by whom? St. Peter, was it? It's recorded by your own consciousness. Okay, as you're aware of having the thought, while you hear the thought, it's by hearing it, it's being karmically stored. Like by this VCR called your consciousness. And it'll come back. And that's all it takes for karma to be planted, is that you have any kind of dim awareness of it. So the minute you have a thought, you've already collected the karma, and the imprint has already been made on your mind, and it will come back. So even just having the thought to say something and do something without saying anything or doing anything is already ruining your future a month from now. And you'll never know why. And the whole world goes around suffering because they don't understand that. And they're like blindly struggling against this thing, and by struggling they're making it worse the next day and the next month. And it's like ironic, you know, it's sad that people are, their natural reaction is what's making their lives worse and then kills them, you know. Then you go back to the last room before the courtyard, and it's this constant reactions to your life, to your world, that makes the fish, what do they call it, fish line, get more knotted up, and then that eventually kills you. That's it. That's what makes you mortal. And if you could fix that, you wouldn't be mortal. People think I'm being, that I'm exaggerating when I say the point of Buddhism is not to die, but it really is. That's the whole point. And you don't have to die like that. But every time you struggle or fight back against something negative in a negative way, you put one more knot there and you tie it up one more, you choke it a little more, and the accumulation of a lifetime of choking the central channel is that you kill yourself, and that's what makes you mortal. So if you can reverse it, then you have a chance to stop that and you become enlightened. Okay, why didn't we see anybody do that? Why does His Holiness appear to be getting older? That's your bad karma, okay? How does he look to himself? You have to ask him. But what you hear might depend on your bad karma also. Okay? All right? Really? Okay? Don't think no one's ever done it. Thousands and thousands of people have done it, okay? In Tibet. Okay. So let's read that one. It's on 64. It should be the glass room with the glass figurines and you're tiptoeing, okay? There's this argument. People say, how can I watch every single thought in my mind? This is impossible. I can't do that. And Master Shantideva, remember the thing he said? He said, if you were walking across the room with a bowl full of water, right up to the lid, do you think you could make it to the other side? And the guy says, no, it's impossible. And he says, well, let's just try, and I'll stick this knife up to your neck, and if you slip, I'll cut your neck, okay? And the guy says, well, maybe I could do it, you know. You know, like, where there's a will, there's a way, okay? If you understand the consequences, you would do it. Okay? All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Grant that these pure thoughts may lead me to be watchful and to recall what I should be doing. Grant me to give the greatest care to make the vows of morality the essence of my practice. They are the root of the Buddha's teaching. Okay.